page 271, and I want you to turn to the book of Galatians. We finished 2 Corinthians last week, so if you work your way through your Bible and get to 2 Corinthians, we're going to pick up tonight with Galatians and start working through this for the next 20 minutes or so, and then we shall be on our way. I find it to be the case that most of the little letters in the Bible, any shorter book in the Bible, very few people know what they really are about. And Galatians, some of you should know something about that book because I went through a sermon series in Galatians years ago, and we went, you know, verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase. So hopefully you remember something about that, and we'll look at some of that starting tonight. But there's a lot of books in the Bible that people just don't know anything about because they're short. Philemon. Obadiah. Like just one single little page in most of our Bibles. So Galatians, it's not that it's real short, but it's small enough or short enough to where out of the blue the average person doesn't know what's the main point and why is it in there. So we're going to talk tonight about, start looking at the purpose of the book and why it is in your Bible as we go through these 66 books of this Route 66. And I think what might be good for us to do, if you've got your place on page 271, hold that with your finger, and I want to keep everything in context. We're going to refer to this, go back to this a lot as we go through each book. I think if you look on page 12 of your workbook, there's a really neat chart on page 12. And it ties everything together with your New Testament so you understand where books are and why they are where they are. So on page 12, we went through this about 25 years ago when we started this study. It feels like it. But we actually are doing 66 studies, like one per book. So we're doing pretty good here. But on page 12, there was a chart that showed you the divisions of your New Testament. So you've got five divisions of your New Testament. The first four books form what's called the Gospels division. And obviously Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they focus on the life and ministry of Jesus, his death, ending with his resurrection. And those are kind of a separate little category of books of your New Testament, very similar in that regard. You've got one book of history in the New Testament, and that is a book of Acts. That tells you what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead. What did the apostles do? Well, eventually, in the start of that book, the church is birthed. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes. All of a sudden, we got a church. So we've got a body of believers, followers of Christ, and they start forming organization. You've got pastors involved. Deacons will be put into place. You've got some structure there. And Paul takes missionary journeys as the church is expanding. The gospel is getting out to the peoples. So that's a book of history. After that book of history, then you've got these, I think there's 13, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 letters that Paul wrote. He wrote these letters to churches that he had visited or individuals he knew as he traveled on his missionary journeys. So all of the letters that Paul wrote basically fit into the book of Acts. Okay, Acts is your history outline. Through that history outline, Paul wrote letters to different churches and individuals. These letters fit inside the book of Acts. Then you've got eight general letters, or general epistles is a fancy word. You've got eight general letters that are written more to a general audience and a little bit more generic in content compared to Paul's letters, and that's some of the other apostles. And then you've got one book of prophecy, and that is a book of Revelation. So five categories or divisions in your New Testament. Now, where are we in Galatians? You look back up to Paul's letters and kind of get a feel for where we've been. We've covered the Gospels. We've covered the history book of Acts, which was kind of long. Spent a lot of time there. And then so far in Paul's letters, we've covered Romans, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. So where we are tonight is on at the book of Galatians. Now I'm going to give you another little, I'm going to call this a memory tool. How many of you struggle if we all do. I almost guarantee. If I give you a blank piece of paper tonight and I ask you to write out the 66 books of the Bible in order, I just heard a holy grunt somewhere. Somebody did a holy grunt just now. I could be easy. I could say, all right, here's the Old Testament 39 to write out, and here's the New Testament 27 to write out. Or I could even give you the categories. But you know what? Even if I did that, it's hard to get all the little books together in the right places. So let me give you something somebody told me years ago. This was, I think it was a master's level class. And I think it was a New Testament Greek guy teaching it. One of the best professors I've ever had in my life. I mean, by far. And he said, to help you memorize the next few books of your New Testament, he said, think about this, go eat popcorn. That's some heavy theology, Andy. Go eat popcorn. And if you look at it, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you can get Romans and Corinthians, the big books, go eat popcorn, give you the next four, and then you drop down to more of what I call the T books with Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus. So if that helps you, it helps you. And if not, that's fine. Forgot you ever heard it. Unless it makes you hungry. If it makes you hungry, go home and get some microwave popcorn. It's not hard to do. Even I can do that. I really can. Throw it in the microwave, push about 4 or 5 minutes, count the seconds between the pops, and it usually works out pretty well. So go eat popcorn. Let's talk about Galatians tonight, and let's look now at page 271. All right, your book entitles this this chapter or lesson, Get It Right. And here's why, or what you're going to find with this. Galatians focuses on getting right the gospel. And I haven't marked the board in a long time, Jim, so I'm going to do it tonight. I don't know if I have to, but I'm just going to do it anyway, because this is going to help you a little bit. So what I would say about Galatians, one big thing with Galatians is there's a big focus on making sure that we get right the gospel. And what Paul does in this letter is tries to emphasize that your salvation, the gospel, is by the grace of God and through your faith. And here's what he emphasizes over and over in this little book. He says, and it is not of works. Now, you're going to see why and how this comes into play as we get into this, if we get to it tonight. But if not, over the next couple of weeks, you will. When Paul goes into churches of Galatia and he preaches the gospel, he tells them about who Jesus was, his death, his resurrection, and he emphasizes your faith in him to be saved. Here's what happens. When he does that, others come in after him and they emphasize it's not only through your faith and by the grace of God you're saved, but you've also got to keep the Old Testament law. And Paul kind of goes off and says, no. Over and over in the book of Galatians, he's going to emphasize that the gospel is not by your works or keeping the law or doing good deeds. It is only by the grace of God and through your faith. So that's going to be kind of like the heart of the book of Galatians. The second thing I'll put on here, just kind of make the connection, that the book of Galatians actually shares a lot of similar teaching with the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. Because in the book of Romans, remember, we had a whole section in Romans. I think there were some pictures of a gulf there, and trying to bridge that gulf and sin and the bridge of the cross. And he was emphasizing that we're justified or made right with God through faith and not by the works of your Old Testament law. So Galatians is very similar to Romans with the argument Paul makes in this longer letter. And this is like a shorter version, more compact version of Romans. But this was written to believers in Galatia. So very similar theme and purpose between Galatians and Romans. So let's look at the shaded box at the top of the page, and we'll see the first couple of verses, how it's introduced. Your book says that Galatians is a letter, and we'll look at the verse in just a minute. It's a letter from Paul. Okay, that's pretty obvious, and we'll see it in the first verse. Paul says, as he starts this letter, that he was sent. Okay, an apostle is one who is sent. He says he was sent by Jesus, Messiah, okay, the Christ, and God the Father. So you've got two persons of the Godhead involved in the call of Paul to gospel ministry. And you're going to see why he says that in just a minute. Well, it may not be tonight, but you're going to see why he says that as we go through this to make sure he's proven his authority. Now, let me finish this and we'll come back to it. And then who he's writing to, we're going to see in the second verse in just a minute, is the churches of a region called Galatia. So that's why it's called Galatians. Okay, the Galatian people live in Galatia. And so we call this, in our English language, the book of Galatians, or book 2. Actually, book 2, or letter 2, the Galatians. So now that we've got that, let's look at the first couple of verses, and you'll see how that fits in. Actually, I'm going to read the first 5. This is how he starts a letter. Now remember, we start letters today, and we say, "Dear so-and-so, how you doing, etc., etc." Body of the letter, we sign it sincerely and sign our name. And that's not how they did it in the first century. So they're going to start off saying, first of all, who's writing the letter? Paul. Maybe a little tiny introduction. Then who he's writing to. And then some kind of a blessing or greeting. So here's how Galatians starts. We'll go in verse 1. And I might just read the first 5 since it goes together. Paul, an apostle. Now, in my Bible, it puts this next section in parentheses. There's no parentheses in the Greek language, but just to show us it's kind of set apart from the text. Paul, an apostle. And then here's a side note. Not sent from men, nor through the agency of men, but sent through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me. Now he states the recipient of the letter. It is to the churches of Galatia. Now he's going to give a blessing. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he elaborates a little bit on how important the Christ part is. Who gave himself for our sins. This is strong right at the start. Right? I mean, Galatians is a strong letter. It's a very direct letter. So he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Okay, that's how the letter starts. That's going to be like his little intro launch pad for the letter. So a couple things about this that we pointed out in our workbook. So it starts off as Paul, but notice how he, right from the beginning, emphasizes his apostleship. It might have been the exact same professor, and for some reason I cannot think of his last name right. It was Greg something. One of the best, best, like, teachers I've ever had, because he was so spiritually minded. Can't think of his last name. So, it might have been him. One of the professors or somebody told me one time, when Paul starts off in verse 1 and emphasizes his apostleship, that means there's probably trouble in the air. Now look, you don't pull the apostle card unless you got to. And he starts a letter and says, "All right, let me set something straight right now." Because remember in 2 Corinthians, he was defending his apostleship because he was attacked so much. So now in Galatians, because they're going to be attacking the gospel and emphasizing teaching that he has not given, he says, "Let me start off and let y'all know the one writing this letter, apostle." Okay? But add a little bit more. He says, okay, let me add some more. And this is where that second section comes in. This is why your book says he was sent by God himself. Here's it. It's not that man sent me to y'all. I don't have my authority derived from a church council somewhere or an ordination council. It's not that man sent me here, even the agency of mankind, but it was Jesus himself and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That's the one that sent me to preach and to give to you this message. And notice, I don't know if you're in the habit of doing this. I did this one time. But what I did in reading through the New Testament one year, every time I came across a reference to the resurrection, I put a capital R in the margin. See, we think that Easter is only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Because that's where they get to the tomb, stones rolled away. No. That may be the facts of it, but the effect of it is repeated all through your Bible. Now look at how he describes God in verse 1. By the way, he says, he who raised him from the dead. So he's going to hit him hard with theology with the resurrection. And all the brethren who are with me, he's writing to the churches of Galatia. And while I'm on a roll, verse 4 does the same thing. There's some heavy theology about salvation in verse 4, right at the start of this letter. Jesus gave himself, right? That's that substitutionary atonement. So he can deliver us out of this present evil age. And can I, let me throw this out there really quick. I'm trying not to get bogged down here, but it's so much in the text. You ever thought about this? When Paul says in verse 4, now watch this. First century, or what is this, 2024, I think. We in 2024? Close to it, right? If this is 2024, let's just say 2000 to make it easy for us, and Paul's writing about the year 100. I mean, it's more like 50-something, but the point is, we're in the first century. So one century, first century, 21, do the math. That's about 20 centuries, 2,000 years, generally speaking. Now, watch this. Paul says in the first century, what did he call it? This present evil age. Now, here's my question. Are we more evil today than it was in Paul's day? Or is it just different ways that it's manifesting itself? Because I've always thought, wow, if we could just go back 300 years, if we could go back 1,500 years, if we could go back 1,800 years where people weren't so wicked and evil. And Paul says in his day, about the year 50 or 60, somewhere in there, it's like, this is a very, very evil present age. Roman Empire was known for extreme wickedness, far more than the United States of America today. So I find some encouragement in verse 4 that as wicked and evil as things appear today, look what Paul called his day. It is a very present and evil age. And it's going to be that way from here on out, y'all. Every generation, I think, is going to probably feel that it's never been as bad as it is now. I don't know if that's true. So that stood out to me, that he delivers us out of this present evil age. And that's first century he's talking about. So what would he say about today? I don't know. All right. That's the shaded spot or box there. So give me anything you want to add, share, ask about. Because I didn't get as far as I wanted to. So let me give you one more thing, and then we'll stop with this. This will be a perfect stopping place. So Paul says he's writing to the churches of Galatia. Let's look at our map real quick, and we'll finish it with a map tonight. All right, don't forget where we are in the world. And if I were here Sunday, I was going to show you this with the Euphrates River and the next trumpet, which I'll show you this Sunday. So this is the same map that I used in the book of Acts that's in the back of every Bible just about, that shows you where Paul traveled for each of his missionary journeys. If you were to trace the different spaghetti models like they do for hurricanes, first, second, third journey, his final voyage all the way to Rome, but as he was taking off from Antioch in Syria. And if you were to follow those lines, you notice that there's a green area, and up above it's called Galatia. Now, Galatia is best, as best we can tell, kind of spread out some and kind of dip down south a bit. And so it seems to me that when Paul's talking about churches of Galatia, it's probably more of that southern area of Galatia where he had traveled through as he was preaching and trying to share the good news of what happened in Jerusalem with the Son of God. So if that's the case, when he writes in this letter that he's sending this to the churches of Galatia, it's probably going to be in that area of green there, kind of between that Phrygia word and then Cilicia there on the right, in that general area through there. So that's where the Galatian area is. That's where these churches are located. Is it one church, lots of churches, 100? We don't know how many churches it is, but I think Paul does say in verse 2, it's the churches of Galatia. So there's going to be different assemblies of believers in that area, technically in the vicinity, boundary line of the region called Galatia. And that's where he is writing.